Well, this morning we are continuing our study. We are beginning to look at Matthew chapter 6. As we begin looking at this great section, Matthew 6, 1 through 4, I want to begin by asking a thought-provoking question. Are you a charitable person? Think about that question this morning as we study God's Word together. Are you a charitable person? And if so, is your charity pleasing to God? In Luke chapter 18, I said we were in Matthew 6, but I really want to begin in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, we read about the Pharisee and the publican. And you remember in Luke 18, the Pharisee is going to boast about his giving. In fact, he says in Luke chapter 18, verse number 12, I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. We see something about the Pharisees as it relates to giving. They like to talk about it. They like to boast about their righteous deeds, the good works that they did. They believe that they were righteous because of their good deeds. Another example that I want to highlight, and then we'll go back to Matthew chapter 6, is found in Luke chapter 11. And Luke chapter 11, verse number 42, we see that Jesus is going to rebuke the Pharisees because they tithe even to the smallest of seeds. Now we see in Luke chapter 18 they would boast about it, but here Jesus again mentions something about their tithes. They tithe even the smallest of seeds, and you'll see this in Luke chapter 11 verse 42. But woe unto you Pharisees! This wasn't a good thing. Jesus wasn't commending them here. He says, woe unto you Pharisees! For ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. But listen to what he says. You pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other done. And so what we can conclude from Luke 18 and Luke chapter 11 that is that not all charity, not all giving is pleasing to God. Because when we study Luke 18 and Luke chapter 11, we're reading about religious people. Very religious people. They were extremely religious. I guess we could say they were also givers. But their giving, their charity, wasn't pleasing to God. And we'll see why when we go back to Matthew chapter 6. As we turn back to Matthew chapter 6, as you know, we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount begins in Matthew chapter 5. And as you go through Matthew chapter 5, as we have done, we see a contrast between the righteousness of our Lord and the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. Remember, they were going around establishing their own righteousness, according to Romans 10, 1 through 3. Thus, they were self-righteous. I guess there's another way of looking at it. Jesus was contrasting His doctrine with their doctrine. And you see that in those six illustrations that we looked at. And we looked at each one, and you see that you see that illustration over and over again. Ye have heard, but I say unto you. And essentially what Jesus is saying in chapter 5 is your theology is wrong. Your doctrine isn't right. They taught the wrong doctrine about hatred and anger and murder and divorce and swearing and oaths and, as we talked about last week, love. They didn't understand that they were to love their neighbor. And they didn't know what that actually meant. Jesus wants them to understand that their neighbor could also be their enemy. Again, their doctrine wasn't right. Well, as we now turn to chapter 6, as he talks about their righteous deeds, he says that their practice of righteousness wasn't right. That is, their approach to worship wasn't right. But we'll also see in chapter 6, their approach to the things of this life wasn't right. But Jesus does something, I believe, that's very interesting in chapter 6, verse number 1. And He really lays out the principle of righteousness. And you're going to see this principle of righteousness and how this principle fits with each illustration that Jesus is going to talk about. I want you to look at verse 1 with me, and I want you to look at verse 1 kind of like a foundation for what He's about to talk about in verses 2 and following. He says, beginning at verse number 1, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Now, you want you to go back and I want you to maybe circle or just underscore that term alms in your Bible or perhaps in your mind. Because depending on what translation you're using, some translations will use charitable deeds. The King James uses the word alms. Other translations might use the word righteousness. And I think it's important to understand what word is being used. When you go back to the Greek, whether you look at older manuscripts or newer manuscripts, most would agree the word diakosune is the word that Jesus has under consideration. And it has to do with one's righteous deeds. One's righteous acts. And that really fits the context when you go all the way back to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 20. Because our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes if we're going to be a faithful citizen of God's kingdom. And so Jesus is talking about their righteous deeds. And notice also from verse number 1, you do these righteous acts, these righteous deeds, notice this, before men to be seen of them. Now, I'm not trying to be very technical here, but I do want to highlight some of these original words because it really brings out the meaning. You may want to underscore that word seen, and it's the Greek word theomai. We get our English word theatrical. And the idea is to watch a public show. Now you're going to see how Jesus puts all of this together as He's talking about their righteousness or their religion. Putting on a show. But then in verse number 2, you see that He's going to call the Pharisees and the scribes hypocrites. Hypokritos. Which carries the idea of one who acts. One who's on a stage. Now, stop right there. From verse 1, we see what the problem is. What was the problem with their religion? Jesus says, it's a show. It's entertainment. You are nothing more than an actor. That is standing on the stage, putting on a show to receive the applause of those people who are watching. That's how he defines their religion. Not only is your theology wrong in chapter 5, what you teach about certain matters, your worship, your practice of religion is also wrong. Now what Jesus is going to do beginning at verse number 2 and following is He is going to pick out three elements of their religion, three deeds or acts of righteousness that they like to do to be seen of men, to be able to entertain the people. One has to do with their giving, as we will be talking about this morning. The second has to do with their praying. And the third has to do with their fasting. Jesus is going to talk about these three things. And these are the three things that they would do, again, to put on a show to receive the praise of men. And so the basic principle from verse 1 is this. We are not to do our acts of righteousness to be seen of men. That is the basic principle. Again, we shouldn't do this to be seen of men. The consequence of ignoring Jesus' teaching, His instructions here is detrimental. Jesus says you will have no reward in heaven. If you go around doing things to put on a religious show, turning worship into entertainment to be seen of men. Now concerning their charitable deeds, their righteous acts, beginning at verse number 2, Jesus is going to point out what not to do, and then He's going to show them what to do. And both of those points are important, and you're going to see that beginning at verse number 2. First, what not to do. Beginning at verse number 2, He says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, charitable deeds, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly." First of all, He says, don't act like the hypocrites. Don't put on a show, a religious show, like the Pharisees and the scribes. He would then go on, as He describes the Pharisees and the scribes, they would blow a trumpet in the synagogues and in the streets. When they would do a good deed, or when they would utter a prayer to God, or when they would fast, they wanted everybody else to know it. Look at what I'm doing. Because they were wanting to be honored by men, and Jesus says they will have their reward. They will have the praise of men, but they will have no reward from heaven. Don't do this. Don't act like them if you're going to be a citizen of my kingdom when you do good deeds, when you give to the Lord, when you help others. And then He talks about what to do. In verse number 3, He says, "But when thou doest alms," and I believe this is a most interesting verse, "let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." A person must keep his voluntary contribution a secret. Not only to others, but himself included. Again, He says, "Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." You see, when it comes to charitable deeds, it should be spontaneous, out of love and compassion for those who are in need. And that's what Jesus is emphasizing here in this verse. Don't keep track of what good deeds you're doing in my kingdom. As you give, as you help the poor, as you support good works. Jesus is saying, you do it, and in essence, you do it and you forget about it and watch it. God will remember and God will reward. By that verse, you might write down Hebrews 6 verse 10, because it's a beautiful commentary on Matthew 6 verse number 3. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward His name. God isn't going to forget your good deeds. And so when you do it, you forget about it, God will remember it and He will reward it. But if you keep a mental book, like the Pharisees and the scribes, on all of the good things that you're doing, when you remember it, God will forget it, and He won't reward you for it. Again, that's what Jesus Christ is emphasizing in this text. When you go about doing good works, you don't sound the trumpet. No, you do your very best to do those good things in secret. Now, I realize as we do those good works in secret, there's a sense that we let our light shine. People hear about those good things and it attracts others to the gospel. But there's a difference when others see our good works versus us blowing the trumpet and letting everybody know all the good things that we're doing in God's kingdom. Now, as we think about charitable deeds, as we think about our giving as it relates to Christianity, I believe there are two kinds of giving, and maybe there's a better way of breaking this down, but I believe there are two kinds of giving. Number one, systematic giving upon the first day of the week, as we are doing, or as we're going to do this morning collectively as a congregation, which we are commanded to do according to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. And then number two, a second kind of giving, we may describe it as unstructured giving. Helping people in the community. Taking money out of our pocket and maybe supporting a good work. We're not withholding from the church, but we're giving upon the first day of the week as God commands us to do. But we know of good works, and perhaps we're involved in supporting those good works. And I believe that is certainly welcomed by God. And so when you look at Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4, I truly believe whether we are talking about systematic giving or unrestricted giving, I believe the principles here, Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4, certainly apply. We need to do it in secret. It's something that we shouldn't keep record of. It's something that we shouldn't boast about to the brethren. Look at me. Look at how righteous I am. Look at all of the good things. Look at all the money that I'm giving to the Lord's work. We shouldn't boast about that. And so with that said, how can we develop the ability to give in the way that God wants us to give, to do those good deeds in secret? Let me give you a few principles to think about, and then the lesson will be yours. Giving, number one, is all about being blessed. Think about that. Giving is all about being blessed. I want to share a section of Scripture with you from the book of Proverbs. And I read this a long time ago, studied it out. I believe it teaches a very valuable truth. It's recorded in Proverbs chapter 11. As we look at the wisdom literature here in Proverbs chapter 11, as we begin looking at verse number 24, I want to make this point. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need my money. God can accomplish His work, anything, without our money. That emphasizes the point that I'm making. Giving is all about being blessed by God. And I believe the wisdom literature here shows us, beginning at verse number 24. Listen to what Solomon says here in Proverbs 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but tendeth to poverty. You see what Solomon is doing beginning at verse number 24? He's making a contrast between one who liberally gives and one who withholds from God. Verse number 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You see what Solomon is saying? Very practical. If you want to be watered, you water. And when you water, you're going to get water. Okay? Now watch verse number 26. He that withholding corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. And what you see here in verse number 26 is a cycle. You buy seed, you plant it, you grow it, you sell it. You sell it and you take that money and you buy more seed. And that cycle starts over again. The whole point that Solomon is making, as you give, God blesses you. And out of blessing, you will continue to give again. And out of giving, God will bless you again. You see that cycle. Again, you put yourself into the realm of blessing. And so as we think about principles of giving, giving is all about being blessed. Back up, if you would, to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, listen to what Solomon is encouraging here in Proverbs chapter 3. In verse number 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. We get an increase, we should take the Lord's part off the top. Not at the bottom, but the first fruits. We give Him the very best. Again, in Proverbs 11, we see that Solomon is encouraging us to be liberal givers. And he's doing the same here. Now watch verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Again, these are principles. Giving is all about being blessed. When we give, we put ourselves into that cycle of blessing. Well, maybe you're thinking, well, Clay, that's the Old Testament. Do you realize you see the same principles in the New Testament? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6, Jesus says, "He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." And so if we understand what Scripture is saying, we understand that we give because giving is all about being blessed by God. And He truly pours out so many rich blessings upon our life. And because of those blessings, each one of us should be cheerful givers. Remember, God loves what kind of giver? He loves a cheerful giver. Not one who holds back. Not one who gives grudgingly or out of necessity. But one who gives back liberally out of love for God. Giving is all about being blessed. But number two, giving is all about investing with God. Look at Luke chapter 6. Giving is all about investing with God. In Luke chapter 6, notice what Jesus says here in Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Luke 6, verse number 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom with the same measure that ye meet with, it all shall be measured to you again. Again, our blessing will be based upon our willingness to be cheerful givers. And I realize a lot of times we may even have the tendency to hold back when it comes to giving. Maybe somebody has taken advantage of us. Maybe we've been burned in trying to help people. Well, if you listen to what Jesus is saying here in Luke chapter 6, even if we get burned or get take advantage of, that's okay because the Lord knows. And the Lord, again, He will bless you out of giving. Giving, again, is all about investing with God. And maybe somebody's taking advantage of you. I promise, when you give properly and when you give out of a cheerful heart with the right motive for the right purpose, doing the right things, you're not going to get cheated by God. He's not going to take advantage of you. Oh, He'll take care of you. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs 19, verse number 17. He who has pity upon the poor, listen to it, lendeth unto the Lord, and He will pay it back. Don't you love that verse? The one who gives to those who are in need, Solomon says, it's like giving to the Lord. And when you give to the Lord, He will pay you back. Again, principles. Giving is all about being blessed by God. Giving is investing with God. We lay up for ourselves treasure where? In heaven, according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 10 through verse number 17. Notice this third principle when it comes to giving. Giving is sacrificial. Turn over, if you would, to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Here in Mark chapter 12, we read about the widow that gave two mites. And listen to what Jesus is saying in verse number 41. Jesus said over against the treasury, and behold, how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich casteth in much. And there came a certain poor widow, now watch it, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. This is really nothing. You couldn't buy anything with this amount of money. It would be like just a few pennies in our day and time. But listen to what He said. And He called unto Him His disciples. He's going to use this as an opportunity to teach, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Oh, there's a great example of the point that we're making. Giving is sacrificial. What does that mean? What is a practical way of understanding that sacrificial giving? Is when you give God that which you feel that you need. When you give God that which you feel that you need. Our giving should be sacrificial. Great verse, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 16. To do good and communicate, God says, forget not. For with such sacrifices, again, God is well pleased. Giving is all about being blessed. Giving is all about investing with God. Our giving is to be sacrificial. And notice finally the fourth point. Giving is not related to how much you have. We see that from Mark chapter 12, but I want to give you another example in Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16. In Luke 16, verse number 10, he that is faithful, listen to it, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Have you ever heard somebody ever say, you know, if I had more, I would give more? Or what about this point? You know, when my ship comes in, the Lord is going to hear from me. Listen, if you're not giving now like you should sacrificially, when your ship comes in, you're probably not going to give the Lord. You're probably going to jump on that ship and you're going to make sail. And you're going to live selfishly like the prodigal son did with his inheritance. No, giving is not related to how much you have. It must come from what we purpose in our hearts. According to 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 7. Giving is something that we should think about. And as we think about our giving, we should first of all, think about everything that the Lord has given us. And the Lord teaches us to give. We see that He gave His very best. He also teaches us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. He gives us an opportunity as His children to give back. And really, we can give back in so many different ways. There are so many good works that are being done throughout the brotherhood. The good work that's being done here at Lake Country. The good works that are being done throughout the world. We have the opportunity to invest in the spiritual. To give sacrificially. Because of all the good works, we can make a difference in this world. And again, it's a privilege. It's really an opportunity to be able to invest in the spiritual. As Solomon says, we're to buy the truth and sell it not. We should invest in the spiritual. We should take what God has given us to do good works, because we are simply stewards of what we have. We don't need to sound the trumpet. We don't need to let everybody know. We don't need to write it down in our mental book, everything that we are doing. We should just do it out of love's sake. We should do it because the Lord sees what we're doing. And He is the one that will reward us. Again, giving is all about being blessed by God. It's about investing with God. Our giving should be sacrificial. And giving is not related to how much you have. Giving should come from a pure heart. And that's the emphasis. Purity of heart. You see, when we give out of a pure heart, our giving, our worship, our religion, it's not going to be in vain. I hope this morning, this lesson from Matthew chapter 6 will challenge all of us to be the kind of giver that God wants us to be. The kind of giver that He notices. The kind of giver that He is going to bless. When we stop and as we think about giving, God teaches us how to give, because He gave His only begotten Son, John 3, verse number 16, so that we would benefit, spiritually speaking, from that beautiful gift. Salvation is a gift from God. Grace is free, but it's not cheap. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. It may be that you've never obeyed the gospel. I want you to understand this morning how much God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten, only one of a kind, to die on the cross for your sins, for my sins, so that we can have the hope of eternal life, so that we can be with Him forever. He wants us to respond to that great love, to the wonderful grace that brings salvation by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And His terms of pardon are found in the New Testament. We must hear the Word of God. We must believe the Word of God. We must repent of our sins. We must be willing to confess the precious name of Jesus Christ. And we must be baptized for the remission of our sins, as we see in Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. And when we meet God's terms of pardon, our sins will be washed away by the blood of the Lamb, and we will become a citizen of God's kingdom. And as citizens of God's kingdom, it is our duty, it is our privilege, to live as citizens of His kingdom, striving to glorify Him in all that we do. This morning, if we can help you in any way, be the person that God wants you to be, won't you come forward right now as we stand and as we sing?